Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pajero!
Hello and welcome to the LFC Podcasting Couch. This is your host, George Xanthus, filling in for Nish, and I'm joined by the coach, Peter Kafinas. How are you, Pete?
Good, thank you, George. Welcome back from your little holiday.
Oh, yeah, I'm back. I didn't even notice I was back.
Why don't you tell everybody what you did?
I went to visit my brother in Sweden. We visited Denmark and Finland, and then I finished my trip in sunny Greece. It was 40 degrees every day, and I had such a good time.
Lucky. You take a photo with...
Oh, yeah.
At the Carlsberg, something to do with Carlsberg.
I was in Copenhagen, and I took a photo with my Daniel Agger jersey, because he's Danish, if some of you know. And I took a photo outside the Carlsberg Brewery, a major sponsor of Liverpool still, even though they're not the shirt sponsor. And I tagged Daniel Agger saying, wearing my LFC Daniel Agger jersey in front of the Carlsberg Brewery. And then Daniel Agger liked it. So
now you're famous.
Now I'm famous.
And your friends.
And all my friends are famous.
And you and Daniel Agler are friends now.
We're friends now.
Oh, that's good.
It was funny because me and Dan, we go way back. But what happened was this is just typical of Dan. You know, me and him, we're mates. He went on Twitter. He liked my photo. He loved it. Then he went over to his mate, Fernando Torres, and then he liked Fernando Torres' status. If you go to his likes, you can just see all the things he's liked, and it's George Xanthus, Fernando Torres, Steven Gerrard. These are the people that he's liking on Twitter. These are the things that he's wanting to interact with. So
it's the same caliber of people.
It's just, yeah. So, you know, we're tight now, but it's a special day today. We'll get away from my holiday. It's actually episode 100.
The century.
The century of episodes. And it's, we're a little bit cut that Nish can't be here for episode 100. He said he wants to be here for 500, which will be in like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
we'll do 250 shows a week, and we'll get to 500 in roughly 14 days.
That sounds good to me. But Nish is busy. Obviously, he's getting married.
He's getting married
this weekend.
Well, we'll use this 100th episode to just again wish him all the best for the wedding.
A special shout out to the main man,
the main Mane. Speaking of Mane, we'll get on to what we're going to talk about in episode 100 because Liverpool have given us a 100th episode present by thrashing Bayern Munich, the champions of Germany, 3-0. Straight sets. We beat them.
Straight sets.
We're Roger Federer. We are Roger Federer in Wimbledon right now.
You can tell Jurgen Klopp loved that one, didn't he?
He was trying to play it down.
He was playing that down
for sure. It was okay, you know. In this moment, we were okay, but...
I think he was doing push-ups before the match.
With one hand.
I think he was psyched.
Do you reckon his baseball cap hits the floor as he does his push-ups?
You know how I thought he was like G'd up for this match was because, remember when Trent Alexander-Arnold just threw Ribery over the sideline?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he fell in front of Klopp and Klopp just like looked over him just like...
He did put his arms up to say like, ref, what happened? Like he was getting into it. He was real and he loved... When Sturridge scored, they did a little thing of him and he was... really happy. Like, that's three. That's now dominant.
You can tell he just looked at Ribery and kind of said, in his mind, you can just imagine the things he was thinking. Like, that's years of torture there just with Dortmund and Munich. Just eat that, Ribery.
Eat that, Ribery. You sucked because Trent Alexander-Arnold is now the best right back.
In the world.
Possibly, in the world. But what do we think of the game? I mean, we both watched it live. 4:30 in the morning here in Australia. So for those of you who are over international waters... that's early.
And that's dedication, not just early.
Or it's late if you went out for a big one.
What, on a Wednesday night?
Wednesday night? Peaking.
No chance.
With lockout laws, mate.
No, so...
It was a good game. We were good at the front, we were good at the back, we were good in the midfield.
So what would you take out of that match? Your most positive, that sticks in your mind from that match?
Well, it's sort of a thing in general for how the preseason's gone. I think it was reflected in this game. I just feel like we're starting this preseason on another level. We started last preseason, let's just say at a 6, where the players didn't know where they quite were. They sort of understood what Klopp wanted them to do. I feel like the players now know where everyone is. They're playing in triangles. They're pressing together. They're pressing smartly, intelligently.
And that for me was the best thing. We were just a team and Bayern weren't a team. And that might serve Liverpool the best going into the season. I think a lot of teams are sort of going to, like Watford or even Stoke, they feel like they've lost, maybe not Watford, but like teams like Stoke, they've lost their star players. You know, Chelsea have added a lot of players. They're going to lose Diego Costa. You know, I don't know if City have really lost many players, but it just looks like a lot of them are starting from a little step down again. They need to find a way to get back to where they were. It just feels like Liverpool are back to where they were, basically.
I'm just referring to City quickly. They lost, what's his name, the winger?
Jesus Navas.
Yeah, Jesus Navas.
And he played right wing back for them, but they've got Kyle Walker.
Now they've made a few signings, so it's kind of they're going to have to learn to gel more than anything. Whereas
exactly.
We look at us, like I said before we started here, they've got that kind of like telepathic understanding now where it's kind of happening, where Jurgen Klopp's patterns are kind of just happening, really. No matter what kind of angle there are in the field, they're finding a way out. They're playing out really, really well. They're getting themselves out of tight situations. They're attacking three or four different ways every time we attack. It's wide, it's through the middle, it's over, it's this, it's short, it's good.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's. I think we're going to go into the season again, just to repeat, we're going into the season as a team, and that might serve us the best when we're going against these sort of teams that might park the bus against us, or maybe when we're up against it. We know that we know where everyone is. Everyone looks like they know where they're supposed to be, where they're going to give the ball, and the players are already there to receive it.
And that's what I looked at that Leicester match. I know it's a while ago, but I was really, really interested to see how we go against Leicester, because we know they're kind of team who wants to sit back and then break quick. And when we went down 1-0, I thought this is a brilliant test for Jurgen Klopp and the players. And we ended up finding a way to not just come back, but then to win the match. And that's something we need to learn to do. And I think, in my opinion, that's what this preseason has been all about, kind of like just find different ways to win. And that's something we needed last season. So obviously he's kind of looked at last season. He's reevaluated last season. What do we need to do? Yes, 100%. We need to learn how to break down teams who just want to put 10 behind the ball. And I think this is what he's been trying to do this preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, we all know how well we did in attack, and I think we can't wait to get to that. But we were talking about defense and sort of we were talking about whether we should start with defense, midfield, or attack. But what better way to just start with how we are defending? And we were talking about it off air about I thought that we were swarming and we just looked tighter as a defensive unit. You mentioned that Lovren wasn't really given as much praise. He had Lewandowski in his back pocket. Trent Alexander-Arnold had Ribery the whole game, which was great. And Alaba,
just as you say.
Sorry to steal your thunder.
No, I can't. No. Now, look, I'm happy you mentioned that, because I thought at Trent Alexander-Arnold, I looked at the match and I thought, Ribery and Alaba against Trent, let's see how he goes. The first 30 minutes, I was like, is Ribery playing? I was looking for him on the pitch. Maybe he swapped sides. It was just Trent just bossing him.
Would you find it an issue? Like, it was a friendly, and apparently the commentator on LFC TV was mentioning something about the referees were going to clamp down a little bit on the roughness of the game. Do you think that may have had an impact on how many fouls Alexander-Arnold gave away? Is that something that worried you, looking at Alexander-Arnold? Because for me, like, there was just one or two times where I thought, just don't give the foul away. It's breaking it up a little bit. But maybe that's a good thing when you're playing a team like Bayern and a player like Ribery.
Yeah, well, maybe we might be versing Bayern Munich in the Champions League this year. We don't know. And I think for Trent, being a younger boy who, by the looks of things, might be starting the season right back with Nathaniel Klein's current injury problem, he needs to be physical. He needs to learn how to compete with the best in the world.
And he's a scouser, so he's
naturally. And it's naturally, he's got that kind of that competitive edge. And at the end of the day, if he can do that against a player like Ribery, let's think about how many teams he's destroyed on his own. And Trent Alexander-Arnold is just...
I love that. Trent Alexander-Arnold. We're just going to cut his name in half. It's Alexander.
You have to type on Twitter as well, because you only get so many letters.
Alexander. Yeah. Oh, no, 130 characters. Trent is struggling because half my bloody tweet goes out to going, how good was Trent Alexander?
TAA, we can call him.
Tar.
But back to it. It's just... I think he needs to be physical. Forget it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not worried about the fouls?
No, not at all.
I wasn't either as well. If you're going to put Ribery on his ass, that's completely fine. Or even Alaba at that. But one thing that, I loved about the defense was, again, going back to that swarming thing, it looks like possibly that Jurgen Klopp has had some time to work on the defense. And look, I think we usually defend well against the big team, so I'm not going to really take it as too much of a positive, but They didn't have much. I mean, Karius didn't have much to do, and Karius was good. But looking at the defense as a whole, Karius was impressive. He came off his line, little stutter there with the grass. I think it went towards his goal when he miscontrolled it. But I just liked it. I just liked the fact that, like we were saying, it seems like they're all in synergy with one another. Everyone's working together as a unit, and that counts for a lot in preseason. It's like a new signing.
It counts a lot, and it's also, you need to have that belief within the group that when they look around, you look to your left, you look to your right, look in front of you, behind you, wherever you're going to look, you know that this player's understanding what he needs to do for himself and for the team in order to progress and go forward to compete on all fronts next season, because we're in a few competitions next year, not just the one.
It's when Bayern Munich were running from left to right. Is that the second half? I think that's the second half. Yeah. So in the second half, what I noticed was a header was won by Lovren, or it may have been Klavan at the time. The header was won, and then that second ball came down. And this is what I'm talking about. If I can get the exact minute, I would love to. I usually write down the minutes, and I've got the minutes for another example. But Henderson swarmed, and he was backed up by Moreno, who would have been left back at the time. The other centre half. And then a couple, like Lallana may have been on the field at the time, maybe Wijnaldum. Everyone, again, they swarmed for the second ball. And one thing that Klopp said last season that he did not like was that second ball. We're not getting to that second ball. We're winning the first one. So maybe it's a thing. It's something that takes time. First, you learn how to win the first ball. Liverpool were very good at that last season. We weren't bad at winning the first ball. Where did we concede goals? The game against Bournemouth, that shot from outside the box off the corner? That's the second ball.
Nobody following up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the goal we conceded against one of the preseason goals we conceded this season was a second ball. I can't remember who it was against.
It was before Leicester.
Yeah. We may have won 3-1 or something like that. So maybe it's Blackburn, Wigan, I don't know.
Can't remember now.
Yeah, yeah. But it was that second ball sort of thing. So in this game in particular, they were switched on and they were looking for that second ball. To me, that's the most important for the defense. Second ball. Almost litter inside the box and outside the box with players. Don't just all ball watch the age-old problem.
Yeah, there was bad times that looked like they were like just lions chasing their prey once they just swarming for anything they can.
Yes, swarming.
And just hungry.
Because we swarm in attack. We swarm on press, but we need to swarm more in defence.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Just everywhere. Just the whole pitch. Just swarm the whole pitch. But
They're learning.
I look at us against Munich, even against Hertha Berlin. We're actually just like a bunch of hungry animals. Just no matter what ball, no matter where it is, it's ours, nobody else's. We need the ball.
Mm.
And it's funny because, speak on that note, it's Jurgen Klopp after the match. His comments were, oh, I'm not happy because, you know, Bayern Munich had too much possession. It's just something we need to work on. And, you know, we looked good. And obviously when you beat Bayern Munich 3-0, of course, but I'm not happy with how much possession they had.
Are there any more comments that Klopp made? Because I haven't actually listened to the post-match. Anything else that he said about the performance?
Like I said, he goes, we're looking good, we're developing. Kind of stock standard pre-season kind of comments. But the one that stood out for me the most was Bayern Munich had too much possession and it's something we need to work on if we are to progress. And
I mean, against Man City, a good possession side in the Premier League, we did concede a little bit too much to them. It's not the worst thing because we're a pretty good side as a counter-punching sort of team. You know, we play dead, play possum, and then hit them very quickly. We're still in the defence. We talked about Trent. We talked centre-backs. We saw about Lovren having a good game against Lewandowski in his pocket. Karius, we both love Karius, and we want him to be the starting keeper. It's just he's just got to be better at saving things. And if
he's
can
so
just
good looking.
He's such a good one.
He's so good looking. Okay.
Does he need the man bun? Does he really need the man? Just
that has to be cut off.
Cut
that off. I'm happy Firmino got rid of it, and now he needs to get rid of it. Yeah. That's as simple as that.
Does he lose a mark for the man bun?
We might tell him.
Okay.
We'll tweet him.
I'll tweet him. Look. I'm mates with Danny Lager now, so I
just still Agger
played with Karius in when they went to Sydney. So they're mates. So I'll give Agger a tweet, a DM.
What were your thoughts on Emre Can's first game back?
Emre Can's first game back. Well, is this his first game back, or is he played a game again? He played against Hertha. I love him. I love Emre Can. You and me are both huge fans, and we've been very vocal about that on this pod. I've been vocal about it for many, many moons. We've even had, I was just telling you about a conversation where Nish actually put put a survey on saying, would you give Emre Can plus money for Naby Keita? And I said, no, because he's settled. He looks like a leader. He's big. He's powerful. He can get past a man. He can do a trick. Yeah, I love him. And he's getting a shot on him. His goal return's getting better. His assists are stable, if not getting better. Yeah, he's looking good. I still think he seems a little bit... Because they're doing sessions, like we're going to mention later with Daniel Sturridge. They're doing sessions in the morning. So Chan doesn't look at his best, but he looks good. And that's a good thing. The fact that he still looks good right now and I know he's not at his best is good enough for me. I love Chan.
I'm happy with the midfield that Jurgen Klopp had start, like with Henderson, Chan and Coutinho.
It's almost like a... Because you've got two battlers. One of the battlers likes to bomb forward in Chan. You've got Henderson, who's dynamic, and then you've got Coutinho, who's a complete dynamic.
And with Henderson's playmaker. Discipline, knowing that I will sit out whilst I watch Emre Can go box to box and Coutinho just to do some little magic abracadabra wherever he can. For me, that would be my starting midfield anyway, as the season begins. So day one, Premier League, game one, that would be my midfield three.
Yeah, well, one thing that I did like about that is that in games we've seen Henderson's the furthest forward pressing, but then in the next segment, you'll see Chan is the furthest forward pressing. As well as that, you'll see that Trent Alexander-Arnold, if he's having an issue with Ribery and Alaba goes around the back of him, who was there to cover? It was Roberto Firmino. So you've got a team that they defend, it looks like in segments. It's not like you're the right winger, that should be your man. Salah made a run into the striker's zone, so Firmino thought, I need to go back and I need to cover. And Firmino did that a lot. He was covering a lot at left back. In Salah's position, the right wing position.
It's like rotation everywhere.
Exactly. It's free form.
It's okay. So one player goes here, I'll take his place.
Yes.
I'll go there, I know he's going to take my place. He's under trouble, I'm going to come in, knowing that someone else is going to go and take my spot, so there's never a hole. It's like gap filling.
Well, we were in the defence and we've crept into the midfield, and that sort of is an analogy or a metaphor for how Alberto Moreno likes to play. A defence who is... Put your bloody phone on silent, George. That was Bojack Horseman, by the way, that ringtone. Amazing. But Alberto Moreno, what a game.
It was good, and he was good. He's been good for the past couple of games he's played for us in the preseason, that is. Well, by the looks of things, we're keeping him.
That's good. I like that. Me and you are fans of his.
Yeah.
In different aspects, I think. I think I'm too much of a fan. I actually get too excited about how much of a fan I am, like in terms of what he can do and what he can offer. So, what did you think of the game?
I'm a fan. I'll just go on saying I believe in Moreno. It's not so much like I'm a massive fan, but at the end of the day, Robertson, thank God we got him nice and cheap. He looks reliable.
Mm.
We all know that, we're quite happy with that kind of signing because we know what we're going to get from Robertson. But with Moreno, a lot of the fans, I was one of them, kind of like, what are we going to get from him today?
Mm.
So if he can produce a bit more consistency in his defending, we all know he can go forward. We all know he's got lightning pace. If he can just kind of show us and say, have some faith in me, I can defend, just watch, then we've got two really, really, really good left fullbacks.
Mm.
And we haven't had two really good left fullbacks from as long as I can remember.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, if Robertson brings healthy competition, let it be, because it's only going to improve Moreno. Then it's only going to improve Robertson himself.
The two things I was going to bring up with Moreno, the first one is that Robertson on his debut speeds down the left wing. I'm still not sure how much his pace is rated, if it's enough to get to the point where he is a quote-unquote speedster. But we all know Moreno is rapid. But in his first game, Robertson sped down the wing, put in a ball for Mo Salah at the far post, and Salah, I think, just couldn't get there. And everyone was going crazy, and it was put on LFC TV highlights, our new left back in action. Now, it happened in this game where Moreno was played through. This is not for the goal, by the way. This is after the goal. Moreno puts in an absolute perler of the same type of ball, which is a low
and hard across goal.
Low and hard across the goal using the instep of the foot. So it's something that Moreno is fine at. His problem is a lofted curled ball, like a lofted from deep cross.
Yeah.
But these ones, he's always been good at getting to the byline and cutting it the way he did. And Salah actually was there because it was a better ball, arguably. And Salah then put it straight at the keeper. Oh, not really. Well, he didn't have much of an angle. But Robertson does it. He's the second coming of Marcelo. Whereas Moreno does it, and it's just like, we don't really take much notice of it. His attacking ability is... His delivery is not the best, but his attacking awareness is good.
I think it's because he's made so many mistakes prior to...
That's probably true.
It's prior to his suddenly decent performances. I think now that because he's made so many mistakes prior to these, you know, good performances, it's more like, oh, but, you know, remember what he's done the last time? You know, this could be just a fluke or whatever it is. I'm not too sure what people are thinking. But what I'm thinking is hopefully we're seeing a new Moreno, which means hopefully we have a healthy battle at left back. So no matter what happens, we're safe on the left side. So then the next question is, what happens to Milner?
Interesting question. I still think that Jurgen Klopp wants to play Milner there because I think at the end of the day, he wants someone who's more... This describes Milner in a nutshell, more honest as a left back, someone who will probably track back and be, and he is very defensively solid. I mean, but he was the person who lost the aerial battle to Slimani at the back post, so he's not perfect.
And I'll throw something at you then. Salah's goal with a cross to back post this morning.
Yeah.
And like you said, the chance to against Hertha Berlin where Robertson drilled it across, whatever it was, right?
Does that happen with Milner?
Milner would never do that. Only because he's a natural right-footed and you know Milner. Every game he gets wide, then cuts it back to the right foot.
I would argue, though, in the last three games of the season, I think Milner's done that a lot because the position where Moreno got it, I don't think it matters how fast you are. Because Mane stood still and Mane's flick is so good, we've actually seen Milner get to that position quite often. He doesn't get there himself, but he overlaps. And usually it's like Coutinho who will do like a nice, intelligent little ball, or Emre Can will find him. I've actually seen Milner do that quite a few times. He gets to that byline, and what Milner does do is he cuts back on his right and he can actually find someone a bit better. He actually done it in pre-season, if I'm not mistaken. But he set up someone like that.
Yeah, you can, and but you can debate it with now more so, okay, so when Moreno or Robertson on full flight delivering a ball whilst the defense is tracking back, so you're delivering an early ball in behind. The defense is still running back to goal. Anything can happen. Own goal. They're not ready to set themselves or whatever. The second you've got a right-footed player running down, like Milner, who naturally cuts onto his right, as you just said, he cuts it, stops. That's 2-3 seconds gone. All of a sudden, the defense is set facing away from goal. So if anything comes in, easy to clear. But if you've got someone who's just, boom, first time on the left foot, drill hard and low across goal, as natural left-footed or right-footers would do on the right side, you're getting an early ball into an unsettled defense, which is why with Salah's goal, it's a perfect example.
There was another moment that Moreno did that one of the things that I've always advocated about Moreno is people think that he's dumb and that because they see him flicking a bottle, you know, on the bench. Like, who cares what you do on the bench, mate? I used to yawn sometimes. Who cares what you do on the bench? Sometimes Sturridge like sits there with like a grimace on his face, like, oh, what's he thinking? Oh, he's bad attitude. Let them do what they want. They're on the bench, okay? They're not in the game. Judge them on the field. But there's this conception that he's a dumb footballer. But in my opinion, at least in attack, look, maybe defensively he is not as astute, okay? But in attack, he very rarely loses the ball. The only time he loses the ball is when he does a bad delivery with a cross from deep. We just talked about that sort of lofted, curled cross. You look in the 50th minute, I took a note of it. He gets the ball and he carries inside on his left foot. So he's actually coming inside, which is what Milner does with his right. So the players are always expecting him to go to his left. He carries, and in that play in the 50th minute, if you want to go have a look, he plays Firmino in the box. It's a great pass. And he's in and amongst Coutinho with all that as well. What I like about Moreno is in tight triangles, he doesn't lose it. He's very good at finding a pass. He's very good at releasing early, and he's good at linking up. So in terms of his attacking...
prowess.
I feel like he's got a lot to offer. And in that, we were talking about would he possibly be an option as a winger.
Left wing, yeah.
He could be in worst case scenario, in my opinion.
Well, Rise did it a few times for us.
Yeah.
On a Rise towards the back end of his career.
Yeah. And Aurelio, they used to switch.
Yeah.
It used to be Aurelio left back, Rise left mid, and then Aurelio would be spending most of his time on the left wing.
Yeah. So moving on to the front three.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start off by saying Firmino is just... class.
You like Firmino?
I'm a massive, massive fan. Hey, look at his, look, for example, the assist. Just the things he does, the pressing that he does, the people complain, like I think Jurgen Klopp said it perfectly, he's the best striker even when he's not scoring. Like as he said, I think it was last week, something very similar along those lines where people look at his goal turnaround, okay, yeah, he's not 20, 30 goal season striker, he's crap. Watch Firmino closely, please. I beg whoever's listening and you doubt Firmino, please watch him carefully. what he does, he can take two defenders with him in one movement. Just gone, bang.
Mm. His first touch is amazing.
And next thing you know, that leaves space in behind for our speedsters, Mane, Salah, and the rest.
Mm.
So if this player is doing his job in Klopp's system for the team and it's working with his assists, and okay, he chips in with 10 to 15 goals a season, throw another 10 assists in there, what's the problem?
I would say that in pre-season, I noticed this last season, a lot of people actually looked at some of the photos of Firmino in pre-season last year, and they thought he looked a little bit
fat,
a little bit chunky. And who knows if it did take him a little bit of time in pre-season to sort of get running last year. I can't remember too well, but I do remember he looked fat when he came back from his holiday. Now, a lot of people have actually been saying with, you know, even in like match reviews or summaries or other podcasts that Firmino's looked a little bit out of place. All that's been put to bed because the Bayern game was him back to what we know him as. He looks, I think he just needs to get a run of games under his belt. He just needs to get a feel for the ball again. And don't forget also it was freaking rainy. It's been rainy weather and the ball's been spitting up. He's someone who relies on his close control. I agree with you. This was him back to what we love seeing from him.
Can I be honest?
What?
I think Firmino is just the kind of player. He's got that Brazilian aura. Like he's got that flair, that Brazilian mentality where I think he just turns it on when he wants to turn it on.
Yeah.
Think about it. Like Bayern Munich, he used to play obviously in Germany and it's the big match. It's, you know, it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. He sees Mane on one side, Salah on the other. He just goes, you know what? Let's do this. Mm. And next thing you know, just the flicks, the turns, the pressing, the ball in behind, the assist. He almost scored on a nice turn towards his.
It would have been good for him to score. That would have been the complete performance. It would have just been like, guys, look, he assists, he scores. And the thing that I was talking about as well, he's your complete player because he's gone back defending at left back when Salah's made a run forward. So he's doing everything for you tactically.
There was one moment in the first half, I think it was around the 25th minute, close to the 30th minute, where he's actually got the ball almost near the left side of the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got it deep, and he's won it deep. And he's actually dribbled the ball out. He's played it. He dribbled about 10, 15 metres.
I remember that. Yes.
Cuts in, beats two players.
Yes.
Sprays it out wide to the other side. We broke through on a counter-attack.
Yeah.
He pressed that ball into the other side, on the left-handed side of the corner.
You mean he's come back in defence?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He went on the left as well.
And then he assisted the attack, and he started the attack from winning the ball.
Yep.
That's our striker.
Hmm.
I love him.
It is also safe to say that, we should also say that I've seen Sturridge do that a couple of times. So it is an instruction, and hopefully our other striker, and Dom Solanke's been coming back a little bit as well when he's played up front.
I'm surprised.
I'm glad that all our strikers are doing it, because when you lose Firmino or when he's having a rest, you want the others to be doing similar work.
I'm surprised with Solanke's press. Like against Hertha Berlin, he was press led to a goal. Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's something we've been asking our mate Origi. And I like Solanke. I'm already. Solanke for me is already ahead of Origi in the pecking order.
Well, let's keep to the players that actually played a major part in this game. I mean, Salah, goal again.
He's
lightning. He's exactly what we needed. Left footer, right. Someone who can play on the right, cut on the left, or someone to fill in centre forward when Firmino wants to come back and help defence. He's great. And he's little toe taps with the ball, the way his dribbling style. Mane's more of a
stride.
He's like stride. He'll give you big touches, you know, from side to side. Whereas Salah does that Messi-esque tap, tap,
the close ball
tap,
control.
Tap. And as soon as you commit, bang, he'll then, you know,
jink past you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the two different wingers, right? So we've got one with long strides, loves to just go, put the ball and just go full steam ahead. And then you've got the other one where it's just like, I want to keep the ball nice and close, drag a defender in, cut in.
A lot of first-time passing as well with him.
Yeah.
Triangles, that same sort of thing. So he's an intelligent... And Klopp even said he loves playing as a 10. So he himself, I think, sees himself as a number 10. Sees himself like a Messi. I think your modern number 10, because of Lionel Messi, is like a winger type, arguably maybe even left-footed, or if you're Coutinho, you're right-footed, but you're a winger. You're a wide winger who comes in and likes to keep close control of the ball. That's like your modern-day number 10. So that's essentially what Salah's doing for us, which is great.
Look, if Salah continues this form and takes it into the season and, you know, stays in that consistency, it might be bargain of the year.
Mm.
In terms of what players, what clubs are buying now in today's market, even just for this season, let's say, he might be bargain of the year.
Mm. And what I do like is his right place at the right time. All of his goals have been inside the box. So, I may have incorrectly assumed in one of our podcasts when I looked at Salah that I thought he would provide us with some goals outside the box, because he did score a couple, but they were scuffed shots and they were driven. He doesn't do the messy thing where he comes on the right side of the box and curls it Thierry Henry-esque into the far corner. I don't think we're going to get that type of goal from him. All of his goals seem to be scrappy inside the box, which isn't the worst thing. A poacher's good for us, a quick player to just get on the end of it, because Mane scored like that against Everton.
Yeah, it seems to be like he just knows the right moments to enter the box. Mm. And he enters the box, he picks up any kind
of
loose
exactly
ball,
right.
And it's just bang, goal. See, thanks for coming.
And then we've got Mane on the other side.
And then there's Mane who terrorised Rafinha, and Rafinha kicked the living daylights out of him.
And his left foot, his left-footed finishing in training, when they showed the LFC training, for those of you who have the subscription, and they were doing that weird sort of 7-on-2 training. Did you see that? They were sort of trying to simulate breaks. So it was then 2-on-7. So what would happen is Klopp would throw in a ball from halfway, and then 7 would be streaming ahead against 2, and they have to sort figure out a way to defend it. They didn't usually. They only showed us the goals.
Yeah.
But Mane finished with his left foot on a few of them. So, and what do we see against Bayern Munich? Left foot finish. So if he's playing on the left-hand side, because obviously Salah's on the right, if he does find himself on that left side, he can always place it and slot it like he did against Bayern. So that's great.
And the beauty of that is, at times where you want Mane to play on the right or Salah on the left, they still can.
Yeah.
So you've got them two who can possibly interchange. And Firmino obviously does the work in the middle. I think that's that front three of Salah, Firmino and Mane. If you look at the other team's front three in the Premier League for this season, it's up there with the best.
And it's not the worst thing if we have Sturridge coming on doing what he did today, although it's also not the best thing when he does what he did today and injures himself in the process.
He breaks my heart. He breaks my heart.
That's the best way to describe it.
He breaks my heart. That
breaks
Sturridge.
My heart.
Because that's a class goal. That's a Sturridge goal. That's class.
But you know what I love as well is that, sorry about those bells, the ice cream truck is outside. As Eddie Murphy.
Ice cream!
But I love his interview at the end. I love his interview at the end where he said, I was on the bench and I was watching, and this keeper likes to go down really early. And then I got a chance in the first half, and I got myself too wide to dink him, and he didn't come out enough. So when I got that second opportunity, I knew that he'd come off his line enough for me to chip him. He didn't go down, but my chip was good enough to go over him. That level of analysis just shows why you need to keep a player like this, not just because of the talent he can give you, but imagine him telling that to someone like Ben Woodburn, who already looks really accomplished in front of goal, or telling that to Dom Solanke, telling that to Origi, for Christ's sake. Anyway, he can be a role model for everybody in that sense.
But that's just the brain of a clinical striker. That's what separates them from the others. That separates a 20-goal season striker to the 10-goal season striker. Just the one who analyzes the goalkeeper, the back four patterns of players, natural makes a difference. Mm. And that's why, you know, he scores.
Yeah.
That's why Sturridge is so lethal, is because he just... Number one, he's a cocky little prick when he wants to be, which that's what I love about him so much. But he studies the back four. He studies the keeper.
Exactly. Where and that's what we got from that interview.
Where could I be to hurt them?
Mm.
And hence the goal.
I mean, we sort of skipped over the midfield, but we did talk about it with Henderson and Chan and Coutinho. What do you think about Coutinho today, given all the media speculation going around him? Is he fine?
He was fine.
He was fine.
He was razzling as always.
He was razzling. He was a little bit slow at the beginning of the game, but one thing that we're going to mention as a whole blanket for this whole game, by the way, because I think I did mention it with Emre Chan. Daniel Sturridge mentioned it in that post-match interview where he was talking about how he was thinking on the bench. These guys have been doing triple sessions every day. And they just did sessions before this game. They are buggered.
And they're playing tomorrow.
And they're playing tomorrow as well. They are buggered. And this is good because it's getting them prepared for the season, because in the season, what's going to happen? You're going to be playing Bayern Munich in midweek. Then you go,
away to Stoke.
Away to Stoke, aren't you? I was going to try and figure out something different. What's the new away to Stoke? Away to Watford. Isn't that what we're doing?
Leicester away.
Leicester away even, yeah. So, So it's important to keep that in mind about their fitness.
And on that note, let's not get too excited, right?
That is very true.
Munich have had a very poor preseason. They've got smacked by 4 from AC Milan. They've lost to Inter Milan, who aren't Inter Milan anymore. They beat Chelsea 3-1, which I watched that match. And they've won a couple, but they've lost almost 80% of their matches.
They're not in good shape. They're not in good shape, yeah.
But at the same time, we did beat Bayern Munich with Hummels on the pitch, Ribery.
Did you mention they beat Chelsea? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they beat Chelsea, so they're good enough.
Like I said, we beat them with Ribery, Hummels, Lewandowski, Hummels Rodriguez.
Thiago.
Who
came off.
Yeah, but
Vidal came on.
Yeah, but that's some good players there.
Sanchez.
Which Emre Can absolutely bossed Sanchez, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just too strong. Well, I think that's about it for the Bayern Munich game.
Yeah.
I mean, 3-0. We smashed them.
At the end of the day, let's not get too excited. I think obviously day one, Watford, I think, is the one we should be looking at more so.
How, is that in
a
week?
That's a week away. Or just under a week.
Just over a week. Cannot wait.
Let's be honest. It'll be nice to win the Audi Cup.
Yeah.
Even though we all know it's nothing.
Atletico are a decent team to see where we're at as a squad, I think, because Atletico will take it seriously because they're a club that they're not big enough to say we weren't at our best, like what Barcelona said to us last year. But they're defensively sound and they are very, very tight back there. So it'd be good to break them down.
And Simeone is a very, very, very competitive manager where every match it's win or die.
Yeah.
So I think
that's banned from the touchline often, doesn't it?
And that's what we're going to get from him. I mean, the next match, forget of it, preseason, whatever it is, that's Cholo, that's Diego Simeone, that's him. So, and it'll be interesting because they are a defensive-minded team.
Exactly.
And that's what really I'm intrigued to see in this match because that's how we go.
Mm. Well, we're still in the transfer season, but as we were saying before, and I want to go on a mini rant here about saying, because, look, people are disappointed with our transfer business because we're not signing
everyone.
£90 million strikers and whatnot. But we were talking about this off air. Transfer season is not just about transferring players. It's about, what did you say?
I said transferring ideas.
Transferring ideas. So Jurgen Klopp is the first person to say this. You English are so obsessed with transfer, so obsessed. But we're also doing development. We're doing training. We're bringing in youngsters. We've got loan players who have returned who are padding out the squad. Now, we do have a couple of questions here with regard to what would we do with transfers. But look, even if we don't sign anybody, the team isn't in the worst shape. I mean, the preseason has been used to transfer the ideas to, last season we didn't have these triangles. We didn't have this telepathic understanding. Now we do. Now we're building on that. Now we're bringing in defensive tactics into it, set pieces. Klopp said that his third session on every day is dedicated to set pieces purely. So obviously he's got more time now to work on other ideas.
Yeah, it was. And last season, what we didn't have were confident youngsters who have played, in the Premier League. For example, look at Ben Woodburn, and
it's a new signing. Signed Ben Woodburn
and Trent Alexander-Arnold.
We just signed a right back, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
So these players now in this preseason are twice the players they were last preseason.
That's a new player,
and it's a confidence booster because we know now if Trent has to start the season, beautiful.
Mm.
And don't be surprised if he keeps.
We didn't have that last season. Now we've got it. That's our squad is better than last season,
especially with signing Robertson and Salah.
So our left side is better. Salah's made our attack better. Solanke has made our Origi issue better.
Yeah, well, exactly right. And one thing we've always struggled with for the past few seasons, not just with Klopp but with Rodgers, and it's our left side has kind of been weak.
And not just our left side, but the left. What do they say? The right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. The right side of Liverpool's brain has been dead because there've been no left-footed players.
Natural left-footed players.
Our left back was right-footed last season.
And there's a few things on Twitter the other day where like people get confused. Like natural wingers, we don't have apart from now Salah and Mane. How many out-and-out wingers would we have?
Exactly. There's them two. Then you would say Ryan Kent is probably the other one. If he's kept, which we do want him, which we do want to happen.
But he looks deadly. He's like a little pocket rocket.
Well, I said this on Twitter. I mean, how many the last player that I saw do this, by the way, actually, there's two players. One of them's in our squad.
Sterling?
I'll give you the thing that's the phenomenon I'm about to say. So I remember the year's 2005 and Luis Garcia scores a bomb with his left foot against Charlton Athletic, right?
Yeah, I know.
We love him. What does he do in that game on the left corner? It's a corner. He goes and takes it with his right foot. Luis Garcia was a left-footed player. He takes it with his right foot. Ryan Kent has done the same thing. He's a right-footed player, and commentators have actually said they want to see him on his favoured left foot because they've seen him take a few set pieces. He's a right-footed player, but he can take set pieces with his left foot. I love that. I just love that because it's like Lallana in the sense that if you're two-footed, they don't know where you're going to go. Yossi Benayoun was exactly the same. So, great talent.
It's an extra weapon.
Mm.
And being an attacker, what better way to... You can go left, you can go right, you can shoot your left, shoot with your right. And all of a sudden, defenders are now in two minds. I don't know. The old saying, put him on his left.
Exactly.
You can't do that.
No, you can't. The commentator was saying it. If he gets on his left side, he can be lethal. You're wrong. He doesn't need to go on his left side. Go on his right because he's right-footed.
Again, if we can keep Ryan Kent, then okay, we do have another natural keyword winger.
Mm.
So,
well, this does lead into, because what I'm trying to sort of accentuate here is that the squad has been padded out. Klopp has said it, he's happy with the business that's been done, because the business is not just done in the transfer window. He transferred the ideas to the players last season. He's done it this season. We've got young players who are now first team regulars in Trent Alexander-Arnold, arguably Woodburner. Even Ajaria looks fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
He looks great in training. He put a few good through balls in.
Forgetting Joe Gomez.
Joe Gomez as well. Absolutely forgot about Joe Gomez. That's another signing as well. He was injured last year.
And the other one is, talk about transfers and bringing people into the club.
Hmm.
Our fitness and conditioning coach?
The Bayern Munich guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something.
Well, we had him last year.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's still his second season. So he's adapted to the Premier League.
Absolutely.
And he's adapted to the lifestyle, the physicality, or the workload.
Well, I was talking to you about this just off air as well. Last season, Klopp was not happy with the way that our team was conditioned. So we worked heaps on strength and conditioning. So we started the season, let's say, at a 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10 in Jurgen Klopp's eyes.
Yeah.
Then we went through the season. We got a bit tired 3/4 of the way through the season. But Jurgen Klopp's the first person to say, you know what? If it means you get tired in the season, I'm happy to concede the season. Like, obviously he wants to win. But he never said last year that he was confident. Like, he never said that we're going to win the Premier League.
No.
He says, we'll try and win it. He was very surprised. We were ahead of schedule. But this season, we're not at a 5 or a 6 in fitness. We're at an 8 or a 9 now.
It looks like it anyway.
So we're going to start the season at 8 or a 9 in terms of fitness. That's another signing to me. That's as good as a signing. That's the squad padded out because they're stronger, they're fitter.
Well, that's the idea. So if you, hopefully this is also part of the injury prevention.
Yes.
To your likes of, you know, we want to try and keep your Mane or our attacking players as fit as possible. You want to keep them, you know, at their peak levels for the majority of the season, if possible. Like, you don't want them to burn out, or you don't want injuries to come because, you know, as I say, fast twitch fibers in the attacking players, or, you know, whatever it is. And
yes,
we just want, hopefully they're conditioned enough to battle the season out, because it's not just, again, we spoke about, it's not just your 38 game season with a couple of cup matches. It's possibly up to a 60 game.
Yeah, we actually counted. It could be 58, nearly 60 games if we go decent in everything.
Yeah. So we have to be ready for 60 games.
Mm. So look, saying all that is all well and true, and I thoroughly believe it, and I'm sure you believe it to an extent as well, that we're in a good way, as Jurgen Klopp says it. But the truth of the matter is, we wanted transfers this season and we still need players. I mean, arguably, we want one major signing. What do we all want? We all want the
centre back.
The centre back.
For me, anyway, I think we need the centre back more than any other position.
If we signed a centre back in this season and it finished in this transfer season, let's say it's Virgil van Dijk, would you be happy with the overall transfer business of everything?
Yes, if we keep our youngsters, the ones that look promising. Good. For example, like Ryan Kent. For example, hopefully we keep Joe Gomez. You know, okay, we've lost Ojo, which for me was a little bit upsetting because he's your winger replacement.
It's a bit nice for me as well. That gentle face, that same Origi problem. Too gentle. Needs to be hard. I like the fact he shaved his head.
Yeah.
He got rid of that fluff on the top of his head. But yeah, needs to be harder.
We get a centre back. We've all been crying for a centre back.
Yep.
Because everyone hates Lovren and they don't think Klavan is good enough. But I think with Van Dijk, Lovren and Matip, you've got three really good centre backs who can easily interchange, and throw Joe Gomez in there all day.
So given all the transfers in inverted commas that we mentioned, padding of the squad with youngsters, improvement of tactical awareness and cohesion.
Left side.
Our left side, also the transfers we already brought in.
Yeah.
The left side being sort of repaired. Bringing in someone like Solanke, who's been a bargain at 3 mil and arguably a better option than what Origi is, so an upgrade.
Well, he's also your wild card, isn't he?
Solanke. Yeah, exactly.
No one really knows what he's about. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also the fitness and conditioning going up a level, all these little areas which we are counting as quote-unquote signings, if we just add Virgil van Dijk to all of that, that's not too bad. It's not perfect. Obviously, we would have liked Keita, however you say it.
Yeah.
But even just adding van Dijk to all of that would be fine.
Well, look, it's strengthening.
Yes.
At the end of the day, and that's what we need to do. We need to strengthen our squad. We need to strengthen our club. And with bringing van Dijk in and leaving what we've currently got, and developing what we've currently got, yes, we're strengthening. For sure we are.
Yeah.
And of course it's an improvement because Van Dijk will now bring in some extra steel and a few extra, you know, components into a back four that we need.
Mm.
Like, he's very good in the air.
Absolutely.
When we talk about second phase football, he could be a key to that.
Mm. Well, I really hope that we do get Van Dijk. Just
quite. Well, you know, we read the other day, or read it this morning, he's not turning up to training or something now.
Is that right?
I don't know what's going on. I don't really care. I don't really read into it too much because Twitter does enough to my head rather than these, you know, these articles as well. But yeah, apparently now he's not even going to training because his head's not right, or until he...
Oh, I heard it. Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Some of our best players we've got have been from our former managers, and one of them did it twice. So Benitez gave us Coutinho, then he gave us Sturridge.
Yeah.
And let's just hope Mauricio Pellegrino gives us Virgil van Dijk and just goes, look, I like them down there. Up there. Just let them have him. And you know what? I like that because it's a new mentality from the manager going, if he doesn't want to play for me, I don't want him. Because he doesn't know him.
Yeah, he doesn't know him. Exactly right. So I think we will get him. Mm. I think he'll be the only signing that we'll do now. In my opinion, anyway. In saying that, I hope we keep what we've currently got to Danny Ings keep, Origi keep, Ryan Kent keep everybody.
And that's, they're just as good as new signings.
And yeah, because when you do need to rest your players, you know, in the early stages of the cup matches, you can, you know, why not start a front three of Danny Ings, Origi.
And we're all forgetting Danny Ings as well.
Yeah, Danny Ings, Origi, and Ryan Kent. You can do that.
Mm. In the League Cup, that's
fine. And you can get away with that because between the three of them, surely they're good enough to beat whoever we're going to come up against.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in the middle of the park, I'm not too upset about Keita. I'm not too upset at all, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Because...
Also, Milner could... I mean, no one wants to see Milner back in centre midfield, but he's an option. He played centre midfield for Manchester City at times, at least on the left side of a midfield.
But I would love to see Milner play in the middle of the park rather than left back. Yeah. Not start, obviously.
Yeah. But he's an option. He's a utility man.
You know, if we have to go away, for example, in a Champions League match, an ugly match in Russia, or you know, this Ukraine, these places there, and Milner, Henderson in the middle of the
playing
park.
Playing on ice.
Yeah. With Milner, Henderson, your two central midfielders, you're going to get at least some kind of mature stability in the middle of the park where it's not going to be, we're not going to play that, you know, that kick and chase. We're not going to try to do fancy things. We're just going to, if we have to go and get a draw, we know we can with those two in the middle of the park because they can drive a team. There's leadership there. There's enough there. And for me, in my opinion anyway, I'd only have Milner to hopefully, if any midfielders need rest, for example, if Henderson or Chan continues, you know, with their injury problems, throw him in there. Because he's more than good. He's good enough to fit them. He's good enough. I love Milner.
Yeah. Well, I think what we've basically done, we've convinced not only ourselves, but also our listeners that we are fine. If we get Van Dijk, we'll be more than fine. It'll be a 10 out of 10 transfer window for us. No, maybe not 10 out of 10, but it'll be better than what everyone's thinking. It's definitely not doom and gloom. And I think that what we've sort of outlined here is that the squad is in a good place. They're developing, they're improving, they're training. And let's not forget our best signing is Jurgen Klopp. So he is making sure that everyone is playing at their best.
Yeah, and but... Just for argument's sake, because this is what pods are all about, right?
Mm.
So you're the manager.
Yeah.
I'm the transfer committee. You have... Okay, let's put Van Dijk aside. You've got room for one more signing. Where would you sign? What area? Who? Not much who, but what area, what kind of player would you sign?
It's interesting because I've just talked this whole time, even to you off air, about how Moreno can fill in at left wing and all that sort of stuff. Maybe I'd get another wide forward. So you call it natural winger.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind it as a wide forward. Like for instance, back in the day, Aguero, you could argue that he could possibly do a job in a front three. Maybe not. He's more of a number nine. But yeah, just a forward who can play central and also on the left. Someone who can sort of just, interchange. Like another Salah or Mane would probably do me the world of good.
Yeah, but in my opinion, they're both natural, you know, kind of like out-and-out wingers because... Yeah. But that's exactly where I would sign, to be honest with you.
Mm.
And it's not about, you know, as you read on Twitter and things like that, it's like, oh, but Lallana can go there. You know, you just put this guy there or put that guy there, good enough to do it.
Mm.
It's all about not just putting a player there because you know he can do a job or he can fit there because maybe that's not his strength.
Mm.
Okay, yes, he's good enough to supply what we need for 90 minutes maybe, but over a course of a season, I don't think so.
Mm.
I'm not saying Lallana, no, I'm saying in terms of swapping players around. Like, if his best position, whoever this player may be, is, for example, a central midfielder, then don't put him out there because he can do, you know, he can do us a favour there because we need it to. Just have a player who can come slot right in and do it.
We should have the best 11. We shouldn't have, like, a best 10 and then the one guy up front is, you know, a half.
Because at the end of the day, if we lose, for example, we lose Mane for another month.
Mm.
Well, having someone who hasn't got his pace or his direct kind of like go, you know, just eye for goal, see you later, rest in peace defence.
Mm. Changes the way we approach attack.
Well, then we don't have that. If we don't come replace that, then we don't have that threat. Mm. And all of a sudden we're down an option of attack.
Yeah.
So we need somebody who can come in and still provide that, even though Mane is not there.
Mm.
And that's the kind of player I would sign.
Well,
and Ryan Kent, yes.
Oh, we've got Ryan Kent. You know what?
All day.
Maybe, you know what? I'm going to call Ryan Kent at signing anyway, because I think he's going to be fantastic this season.
I'd still sign an extra one.
Yeah.
One for each side.
And if we, but if we don't, it's not the end of the
world. But the question was if we could.
Well, I think we've been really positive in this. And on the back of all these positive discussions about where we are as a club, I think we might wrap it up for today's pod number 100. So happy 100th pod, LFC Podcasting Couch. Sorry, Nish, that you couldn't sit here and enjoy it with us. But that's us. That's me, George, and Pete, the coach, Kafinis, on the couch. And we'll be back with you sometime really, really soon.
Let's hope the next pod we've got an Audi Cup trophy to talk about.
And Virgil van Dijk.
Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! Yes, you too!